What's up?
Hey, everybody.
We're back for another episode of You've Never Heard This, Boris. Because you've never heard it.
Boris hasn't heard this. Actually, well, Boris has heard this. He might not know his names, but he's heard this.
He's heard it. Yeah. How's it going?
Good. How about you?
Not too shabby. Just, it's my day off. Been playing a shitload of video games today.
Same.
I've been playing... we just got the remastered Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
Oh, dude, hell yeah.
So,
yes. That's an amazing game.
Been dropping spike strips and...
Oh, fuck, yeah.
You know.
Just fuck the police.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Or be the police.
Or be the police. Robbers.
So, yeah. Are you... Cool. You don't back the blue, Paul? Is that a tricky question?
That is a sensitive subject.
All right, well...
I've had some, yeah.
Then we'll move on. What have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Grand Theft Auto, Fortnite.
Nice.
I'm still plowing on my Switch, going for those all three gold stars on every cup, or Grand Prix, I should say.
Oh, in Mario Kart?
Yeah, still plowing away. Been playing my Switch a bit more. Started playing battle modes a lot more. You had brought that up the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Mario Kart. Mm-hmm. I've been liking that.
Doing balloon battles and whatnot.
So, yeah, just...
That's cool.
Little stuff.
Yeah, we've been digging the remastered games. We got the Crash Bandicoot trilogy remastered,
nice.
And then Spyro the Dragon. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, reliving some childhood. I think we're going to get the remastered bundle of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2.
I have that as well. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I played it a little bit with my brother like the year it came out, and I was like super impressed with the graphics.
Yeah.
It's like, this is weird because it's the same game, but it's not the same game.
Yeah.
It's got the same soundtrack too, which is like
weirds
me out. But that soundtrack like
perfect.
Changed my life.
Yeah.
It
absolutely.
Really did.
Opened a lot of doors.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are here to talk about music, and that's what we're doing. But first, are you drinking anything? Got any?
Oh, I'll be grabbing a Modelo. I'm just going to have some water first.
I'm so close to drinking booze. Actually, we went to Driftwood with some friends last week, and I did have a beer there.
Okay.
But it was just
baby
one.
Steps.
Just one.
Yeah.
But next weekend is Dark Arts, so
yeah,
I'm going to try my best to be real hydrated that whole day.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes.
That would be awesome.
Anyway... We're switching it up a little bit. Today was originally going to be us just pissing each other off for 3 hours.
I almost posted the screenshots of our text messages back and forth.
Yeah.
Safe to say we each hate the other listeners. No, I wouldn't say hate. We are going to say a lot of indifferent things.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
The chosen records.
Yes.
It's going to be rough.
But I texted Paul a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, so we're going to this show in a couple weeks.
Yep.
And if we do, it's one of those anniversary shows where they're playing albums in their entirety. If we do one, if we do each episode in the 2 weeks leading up, I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah.
And it'll, you know, kind of stop us from... making each other mad.
Yeah.
For another
like a little buffer
for another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, we're going to talk about some sad boy music.
Absolutely.
And first album we're going to talk about is Home, Like No Places There by The Hotelier. Maybe you've never heard this.
One and a two and a one, two, three, four.
Hey man, there's this band I love, and I know you love them too. But you're just shaking your head like you haven't got a clue. But what are we gonna do about it?
I've got an idea. Start a podcast and talk about it while sipping on a beer.
You've never heard this.
You've never heard this.
You've never heard this.
You've never heard this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Yes, Yes, sir. The Hotelier. Let's talk about them. They're an indie rock, I guess, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
Band from Worcester, Mass. Formed in 2009 when lead singer Christian Holden met Chris Hoffman, Zach Shaw, and Sam Frederick while attending high school. They released their first EP, We Are All Alone, to little success outside of Massachusetts. Their first album came out in 2011. It's called It Never Goes Out. And that got some attention. They were originally named The Hotelier, but didn't think it was a good name. And another band actually already existed named My Hotelier, and they did not want to get mixed up with them. So they changed it from The Hotelier to The Hotelier. It's kind of a play on words. So here's something that I love. I was so pumped when I found this out. This album was released on February 25th, 2014. The concert we're going to is on February 25th, 2024. So we're seeing it on the anniversary.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
They released it in 2014, brought the band to attention in the emo revival scene. After releasing the album, Christian Holden stated in a blog post on the band's Tumblr. Do you remember Tumblr?
Oh yeah.
said our new album deals with some real dark stuff. So to all my brooding and slightly damaged friends, have your happy album or Rugrats in Paris nearby. It's partly about my experience with friends and loved ones in the past 3 years, which were very complicated, toxic, and abusive. But Laid Within is a lot about the deconstruction of self for personal growth and transformation. I hope it helps you live and stuff. Apparently, we are emo now.
Sweet.
And then it was produced by Ian Van Oppenyen. I don't know how to pronounce that last name. It's very Scandinavian. He produced a couple bands that I've never heard of, After the Sirens and Breathing Process. So
I don't either.
Anyway, do you want to get started?
Yeah. I also want to just say, We Are All Alone. If you can find that on the internet, cause I don't believe they have the rights to it on Apple and Spotify. I have mine tossed into Apple.
Really?
Let's do it. Let's check it.
Your beloved Apple doesn't.
Well, I mean, it's in my Apple because Apple allows you to add music, like normal things. Okay, like if you want to hear an album,
Touché.
You can just put it on your.
Touché.
I know Spotify doesn't really let you listen to what you want to listen to, but if you have the means, go listen to We Are All Alone. There are some fucking bangers on that record.
It's not on here.
Oh, of course it's not.
So,
you know, it can be added onto Apple, not Spotify. Don't worry about it. If you have Spotify, just close your ears. That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, don't enjoy good music.
Yeah, don't enjoy good music. Don't look for music. Don't add music to your library.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I found an old hard drive, as I sent you the screenshot the other day, that had a ton of music on it that I hadn't thought of in forever. So I've been having a lot of fun going through it. Do you know Personnel?
Oh, dude, hell yeah. We saw them with their first tour out after the starting line broke up with Copeland.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had completely forgotten about
Love
Personnel.
Yeah.
And I have been listening to the shit out of that album.
Yeah.
Out of the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Dude, so good. Some of the vocals on the album we'll be talking about next week reminded me of some Personnel songs.
Totally see that.
I'm glad you know who they are. I'm not shocked, but
we also need to get you the part two, Reverend Christian Michael Hader index. 12 whole new tracks.
I'm sure you guys hated that album, but I sure liked it. So I'm excited to hear more. Anyway, let's start the album. This is a very appropriately named track for track one. It's called An Introduction to the Album.
Thank you.
perceive their pleasant sound. Things that break make you cringe inside yourself. There's a child counting stars in their time out of their day. In the corners of their frame, they're encased in the losing of a grain of themselves, pushed against the ebb. Wave goodbye and watch it go.
We're only like a minute and a half in, and I already don't want to turn it down.
I know. I was going to say, maybe we just let him listen to the rest of the... Because, I mean, it's going to... Let's just make him listen to it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Enjoy this, everybody.
Come at us.
Yeah.
FCC.
In the pit. You mean the pit?
Yeah.
Sucking cave, working self. I searched for a way out, don't we all? Existential last recall, turning on all dichotomies and truths that I gave. I felt wrong in many ways, didn't heal, just got harder every day to be still, to be passive.
That's a podcast first. I don't think we've ever listened to the whole song before.
That's going to be really fun to scream with like 700 other people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yep. It's going to be great. Yep. So let me pull up the... There's... I believe it's from the review that Pitchfork did. Says, on the opening track of the Hotelier's sophomore record, Christian Holden is a man of many words, 288 of them, to be exact. And they're all secondary to two crucial nonverbal moments that are nowhere to be found on the lyric sheet. Heraldic horns pipe up over a waltz of cyclic, clean guitars and sustained electric organ. Right before Holden sings to a friend on the ledge, just remember when you'd call me to come, take a deep breath and then jump. And the rest of the band punctuates it with a perverse celebratory woe. This brief moment of release dies down, and after 3.5 minutes of Holden twisting the same melody until it's about to snap, his last words are, "The pills that you gave didn't do anything. I just slept for years on end," and then he gasps, but he says the word fuck. What comes next is the agony of defeat, and the full band crash is inevitable and knee-buckling every time. For the final minute, Holden is inconsolable in his failure, barely intelligible as he yells, "Grab a hold, I know I said to not, but what the fuck do I know?" And seconds later, the track cuts out abruptly. The name of this song is An Introduction to the Album, and Is It Fucking Ever?
What did Pitchfork give this?
Let me see. Review. Well, let's see. We've got a score of 8.2.
Nice. Okay, I was going to say it better be an 8.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty much a 10 for Pitchfork.
Yeah, yeah. So. For all of its song-by-song diversity, Home Like No Place Is There is constructed as a whole to mirror the endless cycle of abuse and relapse. That's one of the things they said about it. So, yeah, 8.2. Good on you. Good on you.
I'll allow it.
Yeah. That's the thing that I love about this song is how kind of cyclic it is. It's just like, it's the same melody over and over and over again. And also, it just builds to that amazing crescendo at the end. And I'll probably weep a little.
Yeah, there's
at the concert. There's
gonna
be some
crying. Weeping adults.
Yep.
At this show,
because you know we're all millennials who
have used this record to stay alive.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So, yep.
It's gonna be so good.
It's gonna be good. Okay, let's move on to... It's a short album, too. It's only 36 minutes long.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's move to track two. It is called The Scope of All of This Rebuilding. That's the words I was looking for. Paul's over there.
That's one of my favorite parts on the record. I just love how they emotionally control you with tempo change.
Uh-huh.
And this is from 2014, but this is like in 07-08. Like this, it just feels like more raw. Like the guitars aren't like there's no, it's so fucking raw.
Yeah.
Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like the drums aren't tuned deep to be heavy. It's just fucking, oh, it's so good.
I had that same thought actually. It was like, it sounds older than it actually is.
Yeah.
Like it's, it doesn't sound like
people just plugging in guitars and playing them.
Yeah. And that, I would imagine there was some band input, but that's probably a lot of input from the producer as well.
Yeah.
Because I mean, just by the names of the bands that he's worked with, it sounds like older, like 2000s emo bands, yeah. Like The Breathing Process. I mean, it just sounds like. I do like the kind of pickup in tempo. Mm-hmm. Between the first song and this one, it's just like a punch in the face.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it's just like, what'd you say? They kind of manipulate you with...
They control you.
Or control, with, not yeah. manipulate. That sounds nefarious. But like, yeah, they control you with... oh, you know what's funny about... Sorry, I had to look up The Breathing Process because that name sounded familiar.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Alan is the drummer for the Black Dahlia Murder.
Okay.
The Breathing Process was the band that he left.
Oh, shit.
To go drum for the Black Dahlia.
That's
Murder.
Wild.
I was like, wow, that's why they sound familiar. Yeah, yeah. That's hilarious. Do you want to move on?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. I know you're excited to listen to more. How often? You said you listen to this album
a lot.
A lot.
Easily cover to cover two, three times a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is an absolute, yeah, this is a important record.
For sure. All right. Track 3 is called In Framing. Especially this one, it just sounds like maybe like early 2000s pop punk or
yeah.
Which you know, that quote by Christian Holden at the beginning, you said apparently we're an emo band now. What did I haven't heard anything by them but this album, so like what is We're All Alone Now sound like?
A little more emo-y. They also Southern Comfort. Oh, wait, let me pull up the song here I'm thinking of. Oh, Southern Discomfort. They like make references to Brand New. So it kind of, oh, okay. They're more tight. And the record came out in 2009. So it's a bit more, it definitely fits more of the emo style, but then they clearly progress into this record. And sorry, we're on Hereditary. He's cutting his palm open to wipe on the rune stone.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's going to
jump off a cliff
and get his head smashed in.
Yeah, yeah. No big deal.
But yeah, their previous album, out in 2009, was definitely more emo feel record.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Cool. So not too much of a stretch.
Not too much of a stretch. It like caught the correct audience, which then, you know, people grow. It just lined up. They got their audience perfectly.
Gotcha.
So
this song really is like, it deals a lot with like watching someone spiral and yeah. like, I've definitely watched someone do that, and you're kind of helpless because you're like, how do I help them? Or do I even help them? You know, it's like, is it even my responsibility? Mm-hmm. Like, they've gotten themselves into this mess, not like mental illness spiral, but like addiction or, you know,
back to
like
that whole, didn't we just do the, is it a choice or a sickness?
Yeah, we did.
So that's a fun.
What did I say? I think I said it was both.
Yeah. Cause you're like, you know, once you can put it down the hatch and then it can do way more than a different, like if you and I drink the same thing, they could have different effects.
Right.
Like, you choose to put it in and open the risk up, but then like it can completely be fine, or it can ruin you. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a frustrating situation, and it definitely made me feel guilty at the time of like not helping when I probably should have. But there are ways you can help where it doesn't necessarily make it your responsibility. But
yeah, then you get the flip side though. But people that are like mentally checked out like don't even want help, not in like a negative way, they just like, you know, whatever's gonna happen is gonna happen.
Yeah,
self-care is out the window.
Yep, out the window. And on that delightful
note, I was gonna say, on that really positive
I mean it's
thing.
It's not a positive album, so let's go to track four. It is called Your Deep Rest. Rest. The title is a play on words, because it also sounds like you're depressed.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was interesting. I've listened to this album a million times and I never picked up on that. Chronicles the narrator's recollection of events surrounding a friend's suicide. It touches on the guilt of failing to notice clues that seem obvious in retrospect, as well as the coping of events at the funeral. This is a heavy song.
With the tastiest opening riff.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep.
So.
I don't know what that feels like, and I hope I never have to know what that feels like. I'm fortunate enough to not have had any friends kill themselves.
I had a, it wasn't suicide, but I had a pretty good friend with no regard to his life that OD'd.
Mm.
And I was at the party when he OD'd, so that was pretty rough to...
Yeah.
Yeah, so like it wasn't a suicide, but this is kind of like, you know how it's going to end.
Yeah.
So it was pretty rough, but it could have been worse. Or there's worse ways to die than...
Yeah, I mean, I guess in that case, yeah, there's definitely been some friends of mine who unfortunately went the same way. Mm-hmm. Let's do one more song and then take a break.
Sweet.
Next song is called Among the Wildflowers. Ooh. Little bit longer just because the intro was longer than usual. This one is it's interesting because it's about like watching your friend suffer, you know, depression or anxiety or whatever. And And it's like, how do I even like, or it's the narrator suffering from it himself and not wanting to burden his friends who are also going through it.
Yeah.
Which, recently in the last few months, I went 35 years without ever having to deal with any serious depression or anxiety until a few months ago.
Yeah.
And so I'm like navigating. I actually just started a new therapy program for it today. But going through these like feelings of like, do I tell people who are also like dealing with it? Because they've got their own shit to deal with.
It's a weird thing.
Just, I'm still learning like how to talk about it. So, yeah. And it's not like, fortunately, it's not to the point where it's like I'm feeling suicidal or anything. It's just I've got a pretty good life. Why am I not happy, you know?
See, okay, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people justify or like I shouldn't be as like, there's less fortune. It's like that doesn't matter. Other people don't matter inside your like. Yeah, of course. There's more fortune. There's less fortunate. But it's like you're still allowed to be upset or not.
Oh,
fulfilled.
Yeah. I don't mean it in a way like that. It's just like, I'm not like comparing my life to those less fortunate. Is just like, why all of a sudden am I
okay?
You know,
okay,
yeah. like my lows are low. My highs aren't high enough.
Yeah, it's good awareness though.
So I'm just like trying to like, you know, get out of that.
But yeah.
You know, welcome to therapy with Paul and Alan. What a great note to leave everyone off.
Yeah. On this end interview is kind of cool with the kid.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Let's just play this out. Everyone, listen. Everyone, shut up.
Friends, feelings, to the point where they've been promising.
Yeah, that's good.
Self-sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, and it's cool that he interviewed a kid.
Yeah.
About that, because kids are like that.
Yeah.
If he had interviewed, like, a grown-up, I don't think that the first place a grown-up would have gone was self-sacrifice.
Absolutely, yeah, no.
You know?
Nope.
So, yeah, that was a good... That was a much better ending than to the first half of this episode than me talking about... my depression. So, we'll be right back.
Cool.
Hi, everybody listening to You've Never Heard This. This is Matt, and I'm from a different podcast.
And I'm Trevor, and yes, we're the co-hosts of the Nighthawks podcast. It's a movie-centric podcast for folks who like to stay up late.
We aim to get to the granular grist of the movies you love. Maybe just the movies you're thinking about checking out, or the movies you want to know more about.
Take a seat in the Nighthawks Diner with us, and we'll talk new movies, old movies.
We're talking about good movies, we're talking about bad movies, movies we love, movies from Norway.
You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and at nighthawkspodcast.com.
This is one of those albums where that sound effect is so out of place. I always said it reminded me of, did you ever watch the show Cheaters?
Oh, yeah. Dude, hell yeah.
Something about that just reminds me of like TBS, like trashy reality television.
Yeah, or the one on the bus where they get out, the dating bus.
Oh, yeah. What was... Oh, Next.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, where they all come off the bus and
I'm Brandon.
Yeah.
I've got a huge dick and I fuck on the first date.
I'm Chick.
I'm a gentleman.
But I'm a gentleman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Next.
How Room Raiders? Do you remember that show?
Oh, absolutely. Totally.
So many black lights in that show.
Yeah.
Oh. Mistake.
Yeah.
Hi, so I hear you're pretty pumped about Taylor Swift's announcement last night.
Pretty excited. I'm a vinyl slut. So when she announced it, I stood in the online queue for 2 some hours, but, I got one. First pressings. It's all that go on the shelf. So.
What's it called again? It's,
it's a play
tortured
on
Tortured Artist,
Tortured Poet.
Oh, Tortured.
Cause there's something, I don't know all her drama and stuff, but it's got something to do with one of her exes had a thread, like a chat thread. I don't know if it was with other guys that talk shit or something. It had something, it's loosely paired off of an old text message thread that an ex had.
Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha.
But I'm excited for it. A completely new record will be cool. I like her redos of her records a lot, but it's going to be cool to get a brand new record.
Yeah, I think that was the most of the surprise and excitement from Swifties was like, oh, we just thought we were getting the Taylor's version of whatever.
Reputation.
Was it Reputation?
Which is really exciting. But speaking of surprise and excitement, you cracked the seal.
I did.
On a Taylor record.
I sure did.
So let's chat about that for a second.
I'm honestly only like 4 or 5 tracks in, so okay. I'm just taking it in bits and pieces. I am listening to Folklore because someone told me that's probably a good album. Not someone, Camille, my friend Camille. You guys are friends with her too, right? Well, yeah. Well, you know her. She's like the biggest Taylor Swift fan that I know. She suggested that one just to like as an introduction because it's not just her songwriting and it's not all autobiographical. It's kind of like tells a story. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try. She had me at Aaron Dessner, honestly, because the National, duh. So,
I just think that's one of the like, I'm glad you're here, but like, and you know, if you can make it through that one, you can make it through any of them. Cause I just think it is my personal least most.
Yeah. You said it's boring.
Yeah. I feel like it's the same. I mean, I can definitely pick up the National and the Aaron feel to it, but I don't know. I was a one and done with it.
Yeah. What about Evermore? Did you like that one?
Yes. That one was good. That one I liked. It was a little more pop-ish almost. Yeah. Like Champagne Problems is awesome.
The Love Triangle of the Teenagers, but you like Sephora.
What?
The Love Triangle on Folklore. The Betty song and all that.
I'm not sure which one that is. Oh. So case in point. Yeah, Folklore was not for me personally. Enjoyed Evermore. Yeah, but I mean, hey, if you get through it, welcome to the club, because they all get only better.
Well, yeah, so. I don't know. Right now, just one foot's in the door. I'm not entirely in the room yet, but
I think you would love 1989.
You know, I have told people that if I were to pick one that I've already heard, it would be that one.
Yeah.
Because it is like, it's pretty, it's just fun pop music. Nothing wrong with pop music. You got your,
yeah,
nice 1989 leg tattoo of the album cover.
Lauren put some flowers over it. Everyone go see Tattoo Lauren.
Yep.
He does amazing work. But yeah, I got the album cover.
Wow, look tattoo. At you.
Yeah.
You're Swiftie.
It's awesome.
Forever.
Yeah. It's really on there for a while.
Yeah, it's going to be, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hard one to cover up.
Yeah.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's keep it going with some sad music.
Let's end this happiness.
Yeah, we're not allowed to be happy. Next track's called Life in Drag. Finally got a song where you can't understand a damn word he's saying.
Unless if you were obsessed with post-hardcore and screamo.
That's true. But
that's that. To make a point, though, in the mid-2000s, because this is from 2014.
Right.
But, I mean, this is their target audience from 8 and 9 when they put... So,
yeah.
This kind of... Yeah. I fucking love this song, because it also stepped back in time for just that post-hardcore feeling.
Yep, absolutely. There is a line in verse 2, and I felt weak in women's wear. Ooh, the song's over. I got to pause. Hold on. Let me know how you feel about this, Paul, or what you think about this, not how you feel. So Christian Holden identified as a cisgender male, at least at the time of the album release, and claimed he felt trapped inside his gender identity. Well, I guess if he said it in an interview, I was thinking it was like someone just throwing out a wild theory or opinion just because of the line, and I felt weak in women's wear. But yeah, I guess it's from an interview. So they said they dress their gender identity because of outside pressure and the way they dressed as a kid. They claim they have second thoughts about identifying as a male. Christian also says about the male community, I benefit from its privileges while feeling disconnected and distrustful. This line may mean that they tried on women's clothing to feel more comfortable in their body because of their uncertainty of being a male. That's where the opinion is. It may mean, but ended up feeling weak because of the way a man wearing women's clothing is seen as weak / lacking power or respect in society.
Yeah.
So
another cool thing about this record, and like all these, this record is packed with shit to unpack, and they are a very quiet band. Like, there's not a lot of, I don't know, or I'm guessing in Genius he answered or wrote some details.
He did not, but there's a lot of like citations from interviews that they've done.
Yeah, because they like, and since they went on their like hiatus, like nothing. Like, they don't answer that. Like, it's they don't quite leave it up to you to figure out, because it's kind of, a lot of this is easy to understand.
Yeah.
But when they want to be, not mysterious. What's the, when they want to be open ended, they're really good at that, because like, they don't answer questions.
Or like ambiguous.
And, yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
So that's, I think that's why this record does a lot for a lot of people, because it can mean so many different things. Even at different points in your life, this record can do different things.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm still, I've been playing it for, you know, 10 years.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Goes with you.
Yep. That's interesting. I like that. All right. Track number 7. Oh, it kind of ties back to what I said in the beginning of the episode about Paul's feelings about the police. It's called Housebroken. Yep.
Convince you to redirect some of that rage, because who fed you rocks while they ate their Thanksgiving, and who left you out all alone in their cage? And when you so close, you ran straight to the distance allowed by his post. You got kicked, you got choked. Phrases crept up your spine when he said we must keep our bitches in line. And on his poker nights, says the same of his wife. He's the top dog.
So Christian Holden has stated that the song is about being anti-cop, inspired by the teachings of Malcolm X, that's his quote, which would support the comments made on the Threadit Ask Us Anything thread. Christian makes many comments about the song in the linked Reddit thread, notably including that the dog is a lie, and additionally notes that it hurt some of their fans, and so he regrets it. Later on in the same discussion, they point out that it is about police violence, but they believe it to be poorly written and open to an alternative and more negative interpretation about domestic abuse. Hence the decision to no longer play it live until we see them.
Yep.
It seems like the dog metaphor was slightly clumsy and too open to interpretation. And there's further reference to Christian's writing of this song in a Pitchfork article that is an interview they did with Modern Baseball.
Yeah.
where they note that the metaphor straddles the line too closely to being about domestic abuse that happens between two people of equal power, but for me, that song is about police abuse. So,
two things. One, songs about police, but that shit's gonna go off in Portland. Like, that'll be, that's gonna be a home run. But two, I have never, I mean, I knew it was about, because like when it came out, people got kind of upset and got hurt. I just always thought this was a cute story about having a pet. Always.
Took it at face value.
Yeah, because I mean, if you go face value with it, it's just this story about a pet. And I've always
been
like,
it's true.
Because of this, I was like, our pets sleep in the bed under the covers. They get to eat off the table. Like, there's no rules. They don't get yelled at. They don't get swatted. Like, this song literally just hit a nerve with me to just like, your animals are equals. And I know it's about the literal opposite,
right,
if anything.
Paul just looked so lovingly at his cats when he said that. He's like, your equals,
like,
my boys.
These are my children, and they will get whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. Yeah. I take this song purely as a song about a story with an animal.
And again, you know, you said it, like they try to be open-ended, it seems like, so.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, I know. I love you, baby. Yeah, this is, to me, literally, this is just a song about a dog, and I just, dog, animal, whatever. I love this song for love your animals, and think about it.
There you go.
Yeah. There's better songs about police brutality. I mean, N.W.A. made it
right.
I mean,
as far as I'm concerned, they made the only song about police brutality.
Yeah. So this is not a police
every
song.
Other song is redundant. Yep. Cool. Well, let's go to the second to last track. It is called Discomfort Revisited.
Off of Southern Discomfort.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Yes, so that's right. Paul mentioned it is revisiting. Well, it's Discomfort Revisited is the name of the song. And so, yeah, it's goes back to Southern Discomfort from We Are All Alone. The opening verse in both songs refers to the illness, namely depression or suicidal thoughts.
Yep.
While the singer seems to lament how the subject fell out of love in Southern Discomfort, by the time of Discomfort Revisited, the subject of the song seems to have rediscovered their feelings for the singer. At this point, though, the singer has moved on and encourages the subject to stand on their own two feet. Yeah, get your own life.
Yeah.
Right on. All right, shall we finish her up?
Let's do it.
Cool. Track 9 is called Dendron.
You cut your ties, felt better off. Salutations to your son. Awoke to find you heading out with your white collar undone. replaced a bar. I played a game to see how low that I could go. We developed mental pictures and we're following our fathers down the drain. Do you recall imagery from when I drove you away through others' rows, prescription lens.
Yes, sir. Oh, there's some. Highlight those guest vocals. Someone named Christine Aturio of the band Save Ends.
And formerly Little Lowe's.
Oh, yeah.
From Bay Area.
Oh, nice.
I think she was also in Portland, or Little Lowe's did a lot of shows. And I've seen them a few times. So I'm actually kind of secretly hoping that I could be wrong. I don't know if she's from Portland or Bay Area. But it would be really cool to get her on stage for the closing track.
Yeah.
So that would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So a dendrite, which is from the Greek word for tree, dendron, is the tree-like form on the end of a neuron, which receives electrochemical signals from other neural cells. The title is a perfect fit for the song, as it discusses a relationship with someone suffering from depression through the metaphor of trees. Pitchfork pointed out that it continues the arboreal imagery that's scattered through the album, especially in Your Deep Rest. It's a lot of tree imagery.
Neurophysiology is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I am limited in a lot of things that I know knowledge-wise, but I got to give a speech on neurophysiology at Hewlett-Packard in my senior year of high school. Neurophysiology is so fucking cool. So I enjoy that.
Yeah.
That's a cool thing.
It's pretty cool. I want to fast forward to the end of the song.
Yes.
Because, first of all, those last lines are incredible. But also, there's a little Easter egg with the lyrics. Oh, we're already there. Just kidding.
Friend's death is tell me again that it's all in my head.
Nice little guitar Easter egg.
Perfect.
It's the melody of the first song on the album. It's a good one. I'm excited awesome. To see it played live.
Cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be so... And I usually don't check set lists, but I was like, I'm 99... Because this is an album anniversary, so I was like, I'm pretty sure they're just going to go cover to cover, and they are.
Yeah.
So that's going to be so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Do you want to take the playlist pick on this one?
Oh, that's a tough one. Honestly, I'm just going to go introduction to the album. It sets the tone and carries you the whole way.
Yep.
It's one of the strongest opening tracks that I think that like truly, like I said, carries throughout the record.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's a good one. That's the one I would have picked too.
Cool. So. All
right. Great. That's it.
Later.
It's the one. That's we'll, it. we'll catch you next time.
Later, guys.
We're just abrupt stop.